Shmuel Halacharchav Hey Pasuk Yud Beis. David's servants were sent with a kind and blessing message to Nabal, who rejected them out of hand in the most cruel and rude ways possible. A miserly, stingy man who pinches every penny until it shrieks and won't give anything even to his own family members. Vayahafchu na'arei David ledarkom. So David's youth turned back to their way. Some say the turning back, that they were embarrassed. Listening to what Nabal was saying, it's watching somebody rant like this in public is a terribly embarrassing thing to see. He said, that's it. I can't even look at him anymore. So they didn't say a word, Malbim points out. They didn't say mu'uma, they didn't say a single thing. And they didn't taste lotamu etzla mu'uma. They tasted nothing. Not that he offered, but they didn't even try. They didn't even try to chop, you know, a falafel bowl off the platter. They just turned their backs, went on their way. Vayashuvu vayavo'u vayagidu lo kechol advarim o'ela. And they returned, and they came to David, and they told him everything according to all of these words. Some people suggest that maybe they were trying to give him one last chance. If he saw that they were angry and they turned their backs on him, maybe he would try to placate them. Moshe Rabbeinu turned his back on Paro, and Paro came running to him, but the Nabal was not changing his mind, not even a little bit. So they told him everything. They told David everything, including that we tried to get him to reconsider. Yud Gimel Vayomer David La'anashav. So David said to his men, Chigru Ish Es Charbo. Let each man gird himself with his sword. They listened to the orders. Vayachgru Ish Es Charbo. And so each man girded his sword. Each man put his sword on his sheath, on the sword belt. Vayachgar Gam David Es Charbo. And David also girded his sword. Vayalu acharei David ke'arba me'osish. And approximately 400 men went up after David. Umasayim yashua akelim. 200 remained back in the camp. Rashi says, l'shmar ohaleim v'keleihem, to guard their tents and their goods, their weapons. Now, when David had the men gird themselves first, and then him. Rashi says, "Mikan shemaschinu b'dinei nefashas menaketanim b'din tchila." Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Mishnais in Sanhedrin teach us that when you have a capital crimes case, when somebody's going to be put to death, the youngest or least of the scholars in the court of at least 23 judges that you have to judge a capital crimes case, they start. The greatest scholars speak last. You let the lesser people start advancing arguments in the front. So this is going to be, perhaps, a death sentence. David is the king. David is empowered to put people to death if it comes to that. Nabal is guilty of murdered b'malchus. A family member, no less. So David is not going in hot-blooded anger. It doesn't say, because the fact that David put his sword on last shows that he was being very deliberate and careful, and he was not going in a passionate rage in any way. So that's another reason why it doesn't say David called his avadim, it says he called his men, his anashim. Men, says the Mamlo, is of wisdom, of understanding. That's what you need when you're going to try a capital crimes case. So we learn lessons about a din maves in this situation. And they're going to pass judgment against Nabal, and we're going to see that David is going to be the last one to speak. So 400 men are now armed, coming upon Nabal as he celebrates his own wealth and status and importance. Bad times are coming. And remember, the servants of Achish, we learned in previous parakim, treated him like a king. They called him the Melech Kol Haaretz, the king of the land. So it's well known, if the Plishtim already treat him like a king, the Jews certainly know that he is the king coming to power. And Nabal, now, why did Nabal think that he should be the king? He didn't think he should be the king. He thought his descendants would be kings. What he did not understand is that the royalty in the family was not going to be through him. It was going to be through the woman we're going to see right now. Pasuk Yadal, the Lavi Gayel, Eshes Nabal. And to Abigail, the wife of Nabal, Higid Na'ar Echad Mehana'arim Lamor, one of the Na'arim, one of the youth, spoke to her. It was a clever youth, but not one of David's youth, one of Nabal's youth. And so he wants to warn Abigail, bad things are about to happen. And he's a smart kid, so he goes to talk to her. Now, we're going to see momentarily that Nabal deserved the death penalty not just being Mar B'Malchus against David, he was Mar B'Malchus against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Tehillim, it says, Nabal says, Ein Elohim, there is no God. And he committed terrible deeds, and he's called Belial shortly in Pasuk Chafhei. And Belial means Beli oil, without the oil of Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he is a terribly wicked man, and now he's got a problem. And Abigail is being told, Hinei Shalach David Malochim Meha Midbar. David sent messengers from the desert, from the wilderness, Lavarech Esadoneinu Vayoat Bohem, to bless our master, but he chased them away. Vayoat, like Vayivat, like kick them out. Vayivat, Bezayin Tes, means to kick with your foot. He treated them with contempt. He kicked at them. This is a clever youth because we see by pointing out that they were in the Midbar, they had no food, no drink, but he sent greetings and a bracha to Nabal, and they shouldn't have been sent away empty-handed, especially when you're going to the Midbar. But by telling the story exactly this way, he's pointing out that Nabal treated them very, very badly. And the Nar is going to continue and tell Abigail why it's also ungrateful on top of everything else, as he will go on.